this opportunity of meeting with the dear friends. And at this particular time, with which thy blessing upon this next service, upon the dear brother Dave, who is to serve us, all that his words may reach our innermost parts of our hearts, that they may bring us closer and closer to thee, that we may be blessed. And we take these thoughts, these words with us this evening, in the days to come, in the hours to come. Remember, bring us closer and closer to thee, and especially our dear young ones. We are very grateful and thankful that they're still with us. So we'll ask that continued blessing upon each and every one of us, upon this ecclesia for their labor of love, upon those who couldn't be with us this day. So continue to be with us. Strengthen us wherein we are weak. Strengthen our faith. Continue to give us the courage. Increase our wisdom and understanding and our patience in our relationship one towards another. We thank thee for the blessings of this day. Thank thee for the blessings to come. All these things we ask and say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Very pleased that we have Brother Dave Duran on our program this year. Those of us who have fellowshipped with Dave appreciate his high idealism of consecration and devotion to the Lord, and his firm stand for truth and righteousness, and blending of truth and righteousness. And I think he has a message for us this morning that is very vital and basic to us as new creatures. The title is Principle and Privilege. Brother Dave.
Perhaps no single topic is of more importance to our spiritual well-being than the topic of God's principles and their application in our own Christian lives. A principle is a fundamental motivating force. And upon this fundamental motivating force, other truths, laws, and doctrines are based. Therefore, if we can understand principle, the other doctrines, truths, laws become much more dear to us and much more meaningful. Our decisions become far easier. We would like, in the time allotted to us, to find out exactly what principle is and what it is not, and to see how, after defining it, we can perhaps apply it to our own experience. In Scripture, principles are not called principles. Nevertheless, principles exist in Scripture, and they are not difficult for us to locate. We believe, after a study of the matter, that there are only two principles, two fundamental principles from which everything else comes. Those principles are justice and love. Brother Russell concurs in this, as you will find on reprint 3453, among other places. Principles are not rules for specific situations. In the Scriptures, we do have rules for specific situations. These are called laws or
precepts
or commandments or ordinances or statutes. But these things are not principles in the strict sense. Nevertheless, they are all based upon the two foundation principles of justice and love. If, however, we have in the scriptures something called a commandment, and it is general enough, it approaches being a statement of principle. And we have an example of this in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, where we read, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now this is called a commandment, but it approaches being a statement of principle. It's not clearly defined. The Lord told us to do it, but we have to ask how. The Ten Commandments are not principles, although here again the first of them approaches being a principle because it is about the one of the two foundation principles, that being love. Love for God above all else. As we look through the scriptures to find a word that might mean the same as principle, we don't find too much. We do find words like being established. Now, being established means we have a solid footing, a foundation. And so we believe that maybe being established is one scriptural way of saying you must have principles behind everything you do. Because our definition of principle was a fundamental motivating force. Well, we can replace that and say a foundation motivating force upon which other truths, laws, and doctrines are based. Now, when we look for that, we do find the word establishment in Scripture. Let's take the words of three of the apostles. First, Paul, as written in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." We're kept from evil by being established, and we believe that means in God's principles. The Apostle James, chapter 5, verse 8, writes these words, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Here, our establishment is related to our being ready to receive the Lord. 1 Peter 5:10, the Apostle Peter says, "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The Old Testament also uses this word. In Psalm 89:14, we find that justice is the habitation of God's throne. And if we read the margin, the word is establishment. So again, we see that this word is very similar to the thought of principle. It is a basis for other things. But if any word in Scripture perhaps expresses what principle is best, we believe that word is probably logos. And you know, this word we normally apply to our Lord. And the term logos means the whole order or plan of things behind what happens. And this is why our Lord has that name, because he is the reason behind God's plan. Just as principle is the reason behind law. But you know, the word logos is used for other things in Scripture besides our Lord. Let us examine 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. That word reason is logos. Be ready to give to every man a reason. The whole plan of things behind your belief. The principle behind your belief. This is what Peter was admonishing. That the word logos also means this in other contexts is evident from the book of Acts, chapter 18. And this is when Paul got into trouble, as he did frequently, and the Jews decided, well, we'll just haul him to court. And they haul him to court before a Gentile judge. And we find the part of this account in the 14th verse. When Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, Gallio is the Gentile judge, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. In verse 14, that word reason is also logos. So you see what this judge was saying. If you brought this man to me on a matter of morals or something like this, I could judge the matter. Reason, principle, logos, would dictate that I do judge it. But he says, you're quibbling about your law. You go and take care of the matter. I won't have anything to do with it. So here again, the word logos, meaning or translated reason, and certainly meaning principle, is used in the scriptures. And so, since the logos is the entire reason behind things, the principle behind things, the embodiment of God's plan, if we are concerned with principle, we are concerned with God's plan. Its fundamental motivating forces will be our fundamental motivating forces. Now, we have said that the Ten Commandments are not principles, specifically. We'd like to make some comparisons between the Lord's dealings with natural Israel and with us, spiritual Israel. Israel in the flesh was given specific commands. Thou shalt not. They had obedience to detail, not obedience to philosophy. But Israel in the Spirit, that's us, we have been given something totally different. We have been given an invitation to walk in the corridors of the mind of God. We have not been given isolated do's and don'ts. We have been invited to develop a process of thought, a process of reasoning, not specific do's and don'ts. Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by obeying specific do's and don'ts. We have been asked to understand and obey the reason behind the rule, the logos, the whole order of things behind the rules. This is why Brother Russell could write in reprint 4006, the Lord wishes us to learn, not as children, certain fixed rules, but as philosophers, the fixed principles which can be applied. Let us draw some more comparisons. Knowledge versus understanding. The law is knowledge, but principle is understanding and wisdom. Or we might contrast the letter versus the spirit. The law is the letter. It's very clear. Keep it. That's all there is to it. But principle is the spirit, the thing behind the law. It is here we must take a fresh, clean look at letter versus spirit. Because principle is behind law, spirit is behind letter. We must therefore come to the conclusion that the spirit is more exacting than the letter. Now this is a very powerful thought, because normally we think, well, I'm not worried about the letter, I'll just live up to the spirit of it. The spirit is more exacting than the letter, because the letter is based upon the spirit. The law is based upon the principle. The principle is inviolate. The spirit cannot excuse deviation from the letter.